So in this podcast, I'm going to go over a little history and background on Pojo's Card of the Day, as well as many frequently asked questions from viewers about how this all works. First of all, how long have we done this? About 15 years at least. We're kind of almost approaching 20, and that just blows my mind. So why do we do this? Because it's such a long-standing tradition. A lot of people click on Pojo every day just to see the new card of the day. It's something that writers on the website can write in a short period of time. Readers can read it in a short period of time. And it's just really cool. I mean, you go back in the archives, you see thousands and thousands of cards, and it seems like a ton, but really it's just little chunks every day. That's how we stay consistent. So how does the routine work? In the past, Mr. Pojo, Bill, would email us 5 cards to be posted for the next week, and we just email him. But now that we're in the new system, we can kind of see the cards ahead of the time. We can kind of revise our reviews. We have more flexibility like that. How are the cards chosen? Well, they're usually chosen based on new sets that are coming out, though recently we're doing Throwback Thursdays. I had the idea back a few years ago, and it didn't really catch traction, but recently Bill picked it up again, and we like it. I mean, Pojo is about nostalgia, so who picks the cards? Oftentimes it's on rotation, a different reviewer picks during a different week, and sometimes we might have a card we want to review on a certain day, and we put that on the calendar. How is this Card of the Day team structured and organized? What's the chain of command? And there's not really much of one. Bill runs the show. We submit it to him, and there's not really much communication between the members of the Card of the Day team for whatever reason. I know some of them get very busy, and you know, it's just easier for many people to just write and submit and not have to think about it otherwise. Another question, how can I be a member of the Card of the Day team? You basically just contact Bill. We'd like you to have some background and experience in the game and have the ability to research cards and know what you're talking about when you write. But otherwise, it's very open. Bill is considerate to a lot of, you know, different people and ideas. So if you think you have what it takes, just come aboard. So for the Yu-Gi-Oh side, what happened to the traditional format section? We axed it, I think, a few years ago. We should have axed it a lot sooner. I think during the early phases of Yu-Gi-Oh! When Advanced was first introduced, they had traditional, you know, just so both sides of the fence could have something to play. But since then, people have overwhelmingly moved into Advanced. And in traditional, let's be honest, most cards are either ridiculously broken or ridiculously useless. Why do reviewers come and go a lot? I think that's partly due to the fact that many people go on the Card of the Day team because it's not a big commitment. You just write a quick review every once in a while, but then life eventually gets in the way. For some people, they do enjoy having that Card of the Day to look forward to every day. They enjoy the routine, but then eventually they feel like maybe they need more challenge or more novelty, and it's just the same routine, and maybe they burn out. Next question, where does the Card of the Day stand in 2018? Is it as relevant as it was in 2003? And in some ways, no, because maybe in 2003, information wasn't as fast, and, you know, you can find it on the Card of the Day, you know, within the week of the card's release, and it would be relevant. Nowadays, you know, people go on the forum a lot and they discuss, and there's news everywhere, and news just comes at you all at once, and having it trickle in one day at a time is not as quick, but it still is a good way to get a little dose of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or whatever card game you're playing one at a time. And we at Pojo, we also have every card of the day laid out in an archive. So it's a good way to view a snapshot in any part of history in any card game, because that's what people want. They want to go back to 2002 and see a card that people haven't used in years back when it was really good and people were raving about it, even though now no one cares about it. What's my motivation for writing Card of the Days? I know I don't write them as frequently as I used to, but back then when I did write them every day, I did it during break time in work because I just needed something to, engulf me and relax me for about 15 minutes. And, it was very therapeutic. Next question, why don't we review more competitive cards? Well, the way Bill wants to do it is that we should have a mix, and some of the people on the team have felt like in the past that if we do review the competitive cards, we're going to have very similar names come up time and time again. We're going to review the same staples, and a lot of people on the team, they want to review novelties, and from Bill's perspective, I know he has said that he wants to cover all bases. He wants to cover the rarer cards, the more common cards, the cards that are attracting to casual players and some competitive. He wants both good and bad cards to be reviewed because, in order to have a spectrum, you gotta have relative things to compare. One question I have here from a reader of the site is that he says that he is disappointed that there's a lot of inaccuracies in many of the past Card of the Day reviews, a lot of opinions that weren't well thought out, and he's asking how can we make the Card of the Day team more credible? Because I know this has been a popular opinion on the forums that, some of the poorly written or poorly thought out statements in the Card of the Day reviews in the past have diminished the credibility of the site. And in my case, I would say that about 80-85% of my reviews are solid, accurate, but occasionally I do make errors. I'm not great at rulings, and sometimes there's things that I think would work in the meta based on the gameplay footage I've seen of duels and the effects I've read. And there's a lot of hype out there as well, and sometimes I make an estimation that's not, doesn't come true. I try to err on the side of caution, but I try my best whenever I review to get as much research as I can, and if I think I don't know enough about a card to review it, I won't review it. I can't say every single reviewer in the past has done that. I wish there was more of that. I think with this new format of the website, we are able to go back in past articles and correct any information that wasn't correct. Why are there more Card of the Days than featured articles on this website? I think it comes down to the fact that writing a featured article, may take a lot of time or a lot of thought, and it's sometimes a very elaborate to write something that, is very broad. But with a Card of the Day, it's as simple as someone asking you, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And you can say, "Well, I think it's good because of this. I think it's bad because of this." Next question, what do we base our card review ratings on from 1 to 5? What are our criteria? And that differs from reviewer to reviewer. We don't have a standard system. Different people have different criteria. Some reviewers may only look at the card's applicability within one particular meta, such as the one that they're reviewing it in at that time. Other people may view it only from a competitive perspective and not a casual perspective. So if a card is good in casual situation and not good in competitive, then it gets a really, really low rating, like a 1 or a 1.5 or something. I don't necessarily have that philosophy myself. With me, I try to use the whole 1 to 5 spectrum because that's what a rating system is. A 5 should be one of the best cards ever, and a 1 should be a card that has no utility whatsoever. Now, I can see, for example, a card that isn't useless but is just made obsolete by another card, like let's say Sakuretsu Armor. That's a card, I'm not saying it should be a 2 or a 3 by any means, because there are many cards that replace it. However, if you had it in your deck, it wouldn't be as bad as Gate Guardian or that spell card, Hieroglyph, whatever the name is, where you just pay 1,000 life points and it does nothing. One factor that I also look at personally is sort of the longevity of a card. Is it a card that's worth holding in your collection? Because let's say a card like DD Crow, for example, a few years ago. In some metas it was really good, in some metas it was really bad, but I would have given a card like that a good score because it is worth having in your collection, because when the meta does change, it's probably going to have use. At least that was the mindset I would have had a few years ago. Next question, why do we rate the card art sometimes? I think that was something that a handful of reviewers started back in 06 or something, I don't know. But, it's just entertaining. Sometimes we already know the fundamentals of the card, but, we want artwork to be discussed. And, if I ever be completely out of touch with Yu-Gi-Oh!, I might just be an art snob and rate nothing but the art of the card. Now, what constitutes a perfect 5 out of 5 score? That will depend on person to person. Some people may have like a solid 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 system, and a 5 is sort of like getting an A or an A plus. For me, I try to I have tried to save the fives for cards that are either ban worthy or extremely powerful or essential and not really any downsides. I think this is where the decimal points are useful. So if a card may have some kind of flaw but it's otherwise really great, we can just give it a 4.5 so that way people don't say, "Hey, it's not perfect," you know. What are my favorite cards to review? Probably my favorite time to review was in 2014 when all these cool new archetypes were coming out and other cool cards like what I've never seen before. My least favorite cards to review were probably the ones that were just straightforward, like add 2 of this card to your hand. And I would say, yes, it's good, but it's generic, just play it or not, whatever. Next question, will we review blank card again? And if it's been an important, significant card in the past, or maybe it's a card that got banned and we haven't really looked at it from since 2002 or something, yeah, I can definitely see us reviewing just about all of the staple cards, from 2002, 2003. At least once every 5 years, because a lot of them are bound to come back up again in some shape or form. And even if not, they're just really nostalgic, iconic cards that everyone wants to know, everyone wants an update on. I definitely see that as a part of our routine. Next question, who is my favorite card of the day reviewer of all time? X-Minion of Darkness, of course. I like that his reviews come from a competitive-minded perspective, and they're short and sweet to the point, but they still give you all the essentials that you need to know. Next question, are we gonna do any more interesting or weird theme weeks? It's not on our high priority list right now, but I definitely see some being done in the future, especially if some really interesting or weird circumstances happen, or someone thinks of a really cool idea. Best review of all time, probably Bill's review of Beaver Warrior back in 2002. Next question, how long do we plan on continuing this card of the day tradition? Forever, I hope. How many cards have we reviewed? Up to February 28th, 2018, it says 3,800 and some change. Wow, that's a lot. Another question we get asked a lot. Why don't we have more pro players writing for the Card of the Day team? And the answer is, a few years ago, the reviewer Christian Moss and I spent a lot of time trying to recruit really intelligent, informed people who know how to play the game very well. And we didn't get nationals players, but we did get players that did consistently top regionals and they knew what they were talking about. But the issue with things like this are, as I said, people come and go and they eventually move on. And it just took a lot of time and effort to recruit and to find all these pro players. And some of them I've talked to have even said that they won't write on the website unless everything about the Card of the Day team is slanted toward a competitive side and the more casual players that write for the review team were fired, and that's beyond my control. And, you know, some things are just not going to work out. This card of the day section is never going to be a completely competitive section, though whenever possible, we do try to bring people on board that know what they're talking about. Next question, what are we going to do for card number 4,000 in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Card of the Day section? I don't know. We got to start talking about that. We're in the 3,800s. It's going to happen in a few months easily. I'm thinking about Obelisk the Tormentor because it has 4,000 attack and 4,000 defense and it fits with the 4,000 theme. But maybe there's just another card that's really super iconic. We'll have to see. If you have any ideas, let us know. Thank you.